to the Knit More Girls podcast, a mother-daughter knitting production. This week's segments include On the Needles, a review,
When Knitting Attacks,
Mother Knows Best,
and events. Come on, let's chat. Welcome back, listeners. I wanted to quickly apologize for posting this a day late, but we had some emergencies that needed taken care of. If you want to read about it, I posted about it on my personal blog, which will be linked in the show notes, but it included a trip to the emergency vet and flight delays. So it was all pretty hairy, but we're all getting it back together and podcasting again. Hey, Mom.
Hello.
How's it going?
Excellent.
Awesome. Let's ease into On the Needles.
Yes, let's.
What are you working on?
I finished a pair of watermelon socks.
Mm-hmm.
The yarn came out of the stash, and I think there were 2 years between the socks getting done.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was waiting for you to call me to come and record yesterday, I finished sock number two.
Mm-hmm.
It was also because I didn't want to do boring stuff.
True enough.
So, and I did some fiddling with the pattern, and so I'm really happy with that.
Excellent. For the listeners, this is a yarn that I bought 2 or 3 years ago at least, and it was by a hand dyer who was doing the long repeat self-striping stuff. So it goes from being a very, very light white to a watermelon red, into a spring green, into a grass green. So it's really lovely.
It's slices of watermelon.
It is slices of watermelon.
It's up as.
Yeah, it's really pretty. But it was on Etsy a million years ago. The dyer, I don't even remember who she is. If I find it later, I'll post it. But this is the problem with knitting yarn that's 5 years old and the labels are long gone. So
I think we need to put pictures of it in somewhere eventually, because I knitted it in a lacy scallop pattern,
uh-huh.
And it looks like watermelon slices.
Cute.
And sock number two turned out spectacular. So it is knitted in a lacy scallop pattern,
mm-hmm.
which makes it look like watermelon slices. And somehow it worked out that the heel looks like a chunk of watermelon.
Cool.
It is really cute. I'm very pleased with it. Also, I finished a bunch of other things. Well, actually, Kelly finished in weaving the ends on 3 pairs of socks for me, so they are officially finished. The watermelon sock we talked about,
mm-hmm.
the Cosmos sock, is done in the checkerboard pattern that came with the yarn from Handmaiden.
I think we talked about that one.
We talked about that one?
Yeah.
Basket check socks out of the little box of socks is done. And the vanilla sock is it trekking?
No, it's Mylan White Mega Boots Stretch. And it's in a reddish colorway with yellows and pinks and... It looks like trekking in that it's marled, but it's got the one consistent color going through the whole time, but it's a wool, nylon-y, stretchy, elastic blend.
It turned out pretty nice. I looked at it initially and thought it would be too dark for any kind of extra work, and so I knitted it vanilla, and after I knitted the first sock, I looked at it, and I could have done cabling on it, and it would have looked very nice, but I kind of got scared off by the initial dark look of it.
Well, I think that's the biggest problem with marled yarns is that you're never sure if any sort of texture work is going to show. And when you do texture work, it's always Murphy's Law. If you do texture work, it's too dark to show. And if you don't do the texture work, it would have been perfect for texture.
Yeah.
So I too have been working on stuff.
What have you been working on?
Well, my friend Tika and I started an agreement. And we are going to reduce or keep our stash at a static amount, and if we backslide and we buy something, we're going to get rid of either that much weight or that much yardage out of our stash. And the thing is both of us have purged our stashes, so it's all stuff we like. So you have to give up something you like for something new. So it's a little bit painful. And that's the negative reinforcement. And then for the positive, if we finish something, the person who is the other, the partner, the finisher gets a bottle of, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, the finisher gets a bottle of wine from the support person. And we're keeping it under $20 for a bottle of wine because at BevMo you can get a nice wine for, you know, less than $20. And at this point you can't knit a pair of socks for less than $20. So.
Oh, I hadn't gotten that part of the deal.
Yeah, so far this week, Tika and I have both been good. We've had the agreement for 1 week, and we've kept to it. And we've got a countdown thing going on the sidebar of both of our blogs, and it's very supportive and a lot of fun. And we've got rules like if your project goes over and you need to buy an extra ball of yarn to finish your sweater or your whatever, you're not going to get punished for that because that's a project scope problem, and it's not, the goal is not to just reduce the amount of yarn you have, it's also to create, you know, take the proto clothing and make it into actual clothing. So,
proto clothing. It's a very nice word.
Well, yeah, I heard someone refer to fleece as proto yarn.
Yes.
And I like that a lot. So,
absolutely.
And speaking of fleece, I'm also participating in Tour de Fleece. And my Tour de Fleece project was to finish spinning some roving I bought from Judy's Novelty Yarns, I think that's what the company's called, at Stitches 2 years ago, and I had spun maybe 8 or 10 ounces of 24 ounces for the sweater. So I decided to finish the spinning for the sweater and get it ready to be my Knitting Olympics project. So I am about 4.5 ounces away from finishing, and we have about a week to go. So
Knitting Olympics.
Yes, the Knitting Olympics. We will have a team, we will have a logo if I can get it together and do it. So,
sounds
that's exciting.
Good. Sounds good.
Yeah, and in other things, we have a review and a foe because of the review. So, we actually got comp tickets from Shakespeare Santa Cruz to go and see this season's productions and review them on the podcast as well as on my personal blog, Better Than Yarn. So, Mom and I went on Friday and we saw opening night of
Bach in Leipzig.
Basically, the premise of the show is that six composers go to Leipzig to compete for the head composer, musician, educator guy, that position. And they all have their secrets and they all have all these methods of doing things and they all really want this job for whatever reason they want it. And it's really funny. And it's a little slapsticky at points, but it's really, really, really funny.
It's got really good dialogue.
It has brilliant dialogue.
Very fast-paced.
Yeah, don't drink too much wine beforehand. There was wine in the... So the way the Santa Cruz campus is set up, they had this kind of like a quad area in front of the theater, and they had like an espresso zone and a food zone and a wine zone and a swag zone.
A gift shop.
Yeah, a gift shop. And one of the shows is usually playing in the outdoor theater, and one of the shows is playing in the indoor theater. And we went and saw, so Bach at Leipzig is in the indoor theater, and Romeo and Juliet is in the outdoor theater, which we'll be reviewing next week. But it's a lovely, small, intimate theater. The staging was beautiful. The costuming was lovely.
It was amazing.
It really was. And I didn't expect to enjoy it so much. I'm one of those people who doesn't really like to see plays if I don't know what they're about. And everything I'd found online was very vague. And when something says, oh, it's so funny, it usually isn't.
It you know? Was.
This was, yeah. There were a couple of parts where I had a hard time keeping up because it was going so fast. Possibly an effect of having a glass of wine beforehand, possibly because they were just going too fast.
It was good wine.
It was good wine. But I found myself, like, reaching for my TiVo remote to run it back, like, that 5-second, 10-second jump back feature. And, like, seriously, my hand went out to grab the remote and just jump it back because one of the actors just ran through lines. And everyone else, like, kind of laughed, but it seemed like they might have missed something. It was really funny. There's a terrific fight scene at the end of the show, which is unparalleled.
My.
It is quite possibly one of the most fun fight scenes I've ever seen, second only to the sword fight in The Scarlet Pimpernel that we saw years and years and years ago. But it's delightful. If you're a California, Bay Area, around Santa Cruz, anywhere local, I really recommend going and seeing it. The group that's putting it on is really good. It's so enjoyable. We had such a good time. Parking is reasonable. It's on campus. It was like $2. The tickets themselves, I think the most expensive tickets were about $40, which is really not bad for theater.
Another thing I saw that I liked is people brought picnic baskets.
Yeah, for the outdoor theater. So if you end up seeing an outdoor play, you can be a groundling and actually sit on the lawn as opposed to in like a proper numbered seat, which I think is really, really fun if you're into sitting on the ground and eating your picnic and drinking your wine. Everyone was also really well behaved. The audience was really polite, which I appreciate.
Or you can, my dear boo-boo, you can be more intelligent than the average bear and bring a picnic basket and have your picnic lunch or dinner before you see the indoor show.
Oh, yeah. There were tables, and I think because of opening night, they had live music playing, and that was really, really nice.
It was amazing.
Yeah, it was wonderful. The facilities are nice. Parking is good. Lighting is good. It wasn't scary at all going back to my car afterwards. That's the one thing I find about a lot of college campuses is that they're not well lit.
It was close.
It was very close.
We didn't have to go scrounge around and find our car in a very far away parking lot.
No, it was super close.
It was very convenient.
Yeah. And there was a great sushi restaurant on the way in. So.
So there was.
We had a lovely evening. And it was a fun show. Between taking notes for the podcast and watching the show, I actually finished the pair of Heritage socks. And this was, I reviewed the Cascade Heritage a few podcasts ago. It's their sock yarn. I really like it. I don't have the color number on the tag anymore, but it's the darker red, not the lighter red variegated. And it's just a wonderful yarn to work with. So I really enjoyed finishing it and just kind of getting something done. So I'm also on like a finishing kick. I've been picking up stuff that I haven't worked on in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Like I picked up my Hedera sock and I'd finished the first one a long time ago. And I've knit the other one practically down to the heel. And I guess I put them down before we moved or something. Moving really messed me up because all of my stuff is not set up the way I had it set up in the old house, and it's just a pain in the tuchus. So I found that. I found my other monkey sock, so I'm trudging through on those in the evenings before I go to bed, and my monkey is past the heel and almost there. My monkey. And I just finished grafting just this second, finished grafting the toe of the first sock in a pair of hand-spun socks I'm working on out of my hand-spun She's Like a Rainbow from Crown Mountain Farms. Here, I'm going to chuck it at Mom. Oh, honey, I'm sorry. I just kicked the dog. Just threw it at Mom to take a look at.
Oh, yes.
Isn't that pretty?
Pretty.
I spun it in a 3-ply. I did not arrange the roving in any way. I just pulled off 3 equal weighted sections and spun it and then plied it and knit it in a plain vanilla sock. My vanilla socks are... Oh, we're supposed to talk about vanilla socks.
Yes, we are.
Vanilla socks are socks that are boring and you could knit in the dark and they're mindless knitting. For me, they're mindless.
They're plain. They're like vanilla ice cream without topping.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody has their own formula,
mm-hmm,
as to...
How to do a vanilla sock.
How to do a vanilla sock.
Mine is 2 inches of ribbing, 7 inches of cuff, 2.5-inch heel flap, and then I knit down to basically 2 inches before the toe and do the toe.
My vanilla sock has 1.5 to 2 inches of cuff,
mm-hmm,
7 inches total for the leg.
Mm-hmm.
My heel is 1.5 inches,
mm-hmm,
because although I may be long in the tooth, I'm short in the heel. And I used to do the short road garter stitch heel that I really, really, really liked.
I used to too.
I liked it because it was cushy.
Mm-hmm. My problem was it didn't fit in some of my nicer shoes. And I wear I own, I think, 7 pairs of commercial socks, and they're all the low ankle ones that I wear with my tennis shoes when I work out. Because I don't want to knit wool socks with 1-inch cuffs. I don't see the point. Because when I wear wool socks, I want to keep my ankles warm, I want to keep my calves warm, and I want to keep my feet warm.
Yeah.
If I'm working out, nasty cotton socks, just cheap cotton spandex socks are fine with me.
Yeah.
So I don't knit short cuffs, and I don't do that, so.
I'm required to wear closed toe shoes to work, but nobody said they had to be closed heel. Mm-hmm. And I get cold in the wintertime, and when I'm wearing wool socks, my feet aren't freezing, and the rest of me is much happier. And since the dress code doesn't say closed heel socks, closed heel shoes, mm-hmm. I wear clogs, mm-hmm. dressy looking clogs, generally, yep. with fun wool socks. Yeah,
yeah.
My hand knitted socks. And I'm looking very professional until you see me walking away and you have the flash of interesting colored hand-knit socks with an otherwise very
mundane,
not mundane,
understated,
serious,
ah,
professional mm-hmm. appearance.
Yep.
On my better days, Sam says I look like the wife of President Bartlett.
Abby Bartlett.
Abby Bartlett on West Wing. Mm-hmm. But that's a really good day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's really what I like to look like, ideally. Mm-hmm. Stylish and mature.
Which is a good look.
Also, with the short row garter stitch heel, or short row, not garter stitch, heel, mm-hmm. you can put in different color heels quite easily. I'm finding it more challenging to do interesting stuff.
With like a heel flap?
Yeah.
I do it all the time.
Do you?
Yeah.
Then the we reason need to I talk stopped, about that.
Well, the reason I stopped doing the garter stitch heel is because it didn't fit my shoes properly. And when I go out to buy a pair of not dress shoes, so basically if they're pumps, I don't take socks. But if I'm trying on tennis shoes or clogs or whatever running around shoes, I take a pair of hand knit socks. I take like a DK weight sock because most of my socks are like DK or finer. And that way I know that my shoes will fit with even my slightly thicker socks. Cause I used to run into the problem where my shoes were just this much too small with my hand knit socks on. And I could only wear them with, you know, my Regia socks or my Opal socks, the really like the straight up fingering weight size 1 needles. That was all I could wear with them. And the garter stitch heel would get pushed up when I wear them. So it would spill over Bobble? The back of the shoe. It was really yucky.
It's like a muffin top for
It was like shoes? Shoe muffin top.
Shoe muffin top.
It was totally gross. So I gave away all the socks I knit except for 2 pairs with the garter stitch heel, and I didn't give those 2 pairs away because I really loved the yarn, and they totally discontinued it because those 2 colors of Regia were my favorite and thus could not continue because that would just be too easy. But now all of my socks but like 2 pairs are regular heel flap socks. And though I don't enjoy knitting the heel flap as much as I enjoy knitting the stockinette short row heel, at this point, it's all 6 in one hand, half dozen to the other, because it works. It fits in all my shoes. It looks right. It fits right. Why mess with a good thing?
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Exactly. So that was one of the realizations I made, because the problem with knitting is what you like to knit and what you like to wear aren't always the same thing. And I find that distressing. Not good, in a big way, but like I feel
point.
Like I should write a letter. So, now's a good time to segue into
When Knitting Attacks.
Well, Mom, are you going to fess up to what happened?
Oh, knitting didn't attack. Yarn attacked.
Bastille Day attacked.
Repeatedly. So I had been ogling this yarn at Per Lessons. They had this lovely collection of Regia yarn, the Galaxy selection, mm-hmm. and I had been ogling it, and then those evil, conniving women put it on sale.
We talked about that 2 podcasts ago.
Did we?
We did. We have to talk about the most recent yarn accident.
So I went in, and not having worked in a yarn store for a long time, mm-hmm. I kind of miss stacking.
Cascade.
I'm kind of miss stacking yarn in bins and stuff like that. The mundane.
There's something simple and repetitive and very zen about it.
Very soothing.
Yeah.
And making sure the colors go well together. So there I am, and I offered to stock a bin with yarn because it was there, it needed to be done. And on the occasions when I'm actually helpful, I like to be helpful. And I think they did that on purpose.
I doubt it.
They did too.
They're not that evil.
So I put this lovely yarn by Cascade. It's Venezia? Worsted?
Venezia.
Venezia. Ah, Italian?
Yes.
Okay, Venezia. It's a merino silk, 70% merino wool, 30% silk. Mm-hmm. And it's 219 yards.
Mm-hmm. Which is a good put up. It's a worsted, I think.
Yes, it is worsted.
And she got it in?
In all beautiful colors. And I'm a winter. And so I need to have deep, rich colors, mm-hmm. and pastels don't work at all. Mm-hmm. Spice tones, I look like I've been cooked. And the earth tones that were so popular a few years ago, mm-hmm. when I wear earth tones, I look like I'm dead and have been put into the ground.
Yep.
So none of those options work for me. Now, these colors are perfect for any kind of winter. And I'm a loud and blustery winter, so I need strong colors. Mm-hmm. And all of the dark colors were absolutely smashing. And
there were a lot of them.
They look wonderful against my skin.
Yep.
So, and as I put it in the cubbies, they said it was on sale.
No, you were gonna buy it that night, and I said, wait until tomorrow and buy it on sale. Because they had a Bastille Day sale where I think everything in the shop was like 20% off. Which is not bad, especially when you buy 3 sweaters worth of Venezia leather.
2 sweaters worth of Venezia.
What was the third one?
The third was the Rowan Mohair.
Oh, the dusty rose color.
The dusty rose. And the Venezia I got in brown and
that deep plum?
Dusky grape or plum.
It's a really rich, dark plum.
Lovely.
Yes, it is beautiful. I actually considered arm wrestling you for that one. But I did get some of the Venezia myself, so.
Did you?
I got it in like a 3 shades of pink applied together. And I'm going to knit a chic knit pattern out of it that I also got at the sale.
So here I am, 4 patterns and 3 sweaters worth of yarn later. Mm-hmm. Well, not the only good thing, but one of the good things is one of the piles of yarn is going to be my Knitting Olympics project.
Oh, good.
I got the basic chic pulley from Chic Knits. Mm-hmm. Very basic, very understated.
And I believe it's got some shaping besides having set-in sleeves.
It has some shaping. I don't think it's a set-in sleeve. It looks like a raglan.
Flip it over and look at the schematic.
Raglan.
Okay.
And it's not boat necky. It's not crew necky.
It's got a high neck. It's like a high crew neck.
I would say low crew neck.
Would you really?
And I can wear it as is. I can wear it with a dressy blouse underneath. Mm-hmm. And I will look professional.
Yeah, it's a lovely basic shape. So I'm thinking about modifying it and making a cardigan because I had a slight yarn accident. I bought 2 sweaters worth of Casbah.
Is that what we call it now?
A yarn accident? That's what Tika and I refer to it as. This is before we made our agreement. I bought the Casbah in this really lovely, like, sagey green and denim blue, which is totally not my palette at all. But it was so lovely and rich that I didn't want to make socks out of it. I wanted to make, like, a garment out of it, which is so not me. I mean, this is, you know, not my colors. This is the complete opposite of what I wear. And I also got the really rich, saturated pumpkin orange in the sweater's worth. And I got some half-off cashmere because half-off cashmere is what you bought.
Last time I was at Pearlescence, mm-hmm. and you weren't there, Allison Hyde came in.
Uh-huh.
And they had Casbah in this lovely, deep, rich, turquoisey shade.
Mm-hmm.
And since Donna Jasmine of the Fiber Cartel was not there, I handed her...
I made her buy half-off cashmere.
Oh, well, I handed her Casbah. And, of course, it finally went home with her.
We all have, like, this weakness for Casbah. It's such a nice yarn, and it's so nice to work with it. Such terrific colors. I really haven't found a yarn that I like half as much.
And even if you don't want to knit it right away, it makes a lovely yarn patch.
It really does. Well, now that we've talked about you having a yarn accident, do you want to segue into Mother Knows Best?
We can do that.
Okay.
So I'm working on a sock where the pattern is kind of, it's a 12 round repeat.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't just memorize the whole thing.
Yeah.
Although by the time I'm getting close to memorizing it, it's the toe of the second sock.
Of course.
Of course. So, and it doesn't, it's not a totally easy knit. It's not a brainless knit.
Mm-hmm.
So, the time I set aside for it is when I'm in bed getting ready to go to sleep, and so I have about half an hour or so that I like to knit and wind down.
Mm-hmm.
And I sit and do one repeat each night.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't know, so many weeks it'll be done, one repeat at a time, and I'll start with the first row and end with the second. So I have a regular starting and stopping point.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And it just makes it easier in my head. Makes mm-hmm. it easier to knit in my head.
Yeah, I'm doing that with the Hedera socks I'm knitting, where it's a 4-row repeat, but rounds, I don't know, 1 and 3 are, right? It's either 1 and 3 or 2 and 4 are just follow the stitches as they fall, but the 2 lace rows are just this much different. So I like to finish with row 4 so that I can start again with the first row of the repeat.
Another thing is I've been working with yarns that have very subtle color change.
Mm-hmm.
So if we look at the vanilla sock that I finished, it goes from dark to lighter to lighter to dark to orangey.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a color flow. But if I do the heel continuously with the yarn, then the color flow is not smooth.
Yeah.
And especially working on the watermelon sock, the first sock I just did, I knitted to the heel and kept going. And the heel kind of upset the smooth sequence of the pattern on top. And I didn't really like that. So I knitted all the way down to the heel, and then for the heel flap, I took yarn from the other end of the ball
mm-hmm.
and knitted the heel flap and did turning the heel. And then I continued knitting with the yarn that came from the body of the sock.
Okay.
So while the pattern repeat gets a little bit thinner because the yarns, the rows across the instep are longer,
mm-hmm.
I still have my pattern sequence, my color sequence going.
Cool.
Or is that too retentive and nitpicky.
Well, for me, I like to go with the flow of things. Unless it's a texture or a color pattern that I'm doing, as in I'm controlling where the colors fall because I'm using 2 colors or 4 colors or 12 colors or whatever, I tend to let the yarn just do what it's going to do. And that's just the way I do it, though.
I'm not into matchy-matchy sock.
No.
Socks. And I'm perfectly happy to have a pair of striped sock, where the socks are not identical but fraternal. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to find the same place in the yarn, in the color sequence. Mm-hmm. But it disturbs my sense of aesthetic.
Yeah.
If the established stripe sequence all of a sudden gets
wonky. Yeah. I get that.
So otherwise I'm perfectly happy with fraternal socks.
Well, with my hand-spun socks, they usually end up being very different from each other, just because it's hand-spun and I don't spin even repeats and I don't spin them identical. And there's some people who really like to have identical socks, and I'm just not one of them. I don't care. They're mostly, I figure if they're made of the same yarn, they're close enough for me. So I don't need to do a whole lot. If it's a matter of advancing the yarn 1 yard to make the colors match, I'll do that. But really, I'm such a lazy knitter, which is an oxymoron. But this is the one area of my life where I kind of just can let it go, because I really enjoy the way color falls. And that's the thing I really like about spinning, is that the colors just go. And they do what they're going to do, and I enjoy it.
I'm perfectly happy with that too, but the heel puts a hiccup in the color flow for me.
See, and that's not being comfortable with the go and the flow. You don't like the hiccup. So, in any case, we all are very nice. It sounds so weird on the mic. Anyway, yeah, so that's our Mother Knows Best. We've got some knitting / spinning events coming up, so I think we should mention it. We've got the Monterey Wool Auction coming up. It's at the Monterey County Fairgrounds on Sunday, August 17th. It's going to be a terrific time. We've gone in years past and had a great time. Basically, you go early and you check out all the fleeces and you take copious notes on what you want and what you're willing to pay for it. And then about 1 o'clock, the battle begins. Last year I came home with, well, our group came home with 5 fleeces. I had, I think, half of one, a third of another, and a whole fleece to myself. And
so you bought a fleece planning to share.
Exactly. We went in parts, because you don't always need 8 pounds of rope of a fleece or 6 pounds of a fleece. Sometimes you just want a pound or two or half of a fleece to do a sweater or whatever. And so I went in with some friends, and we dropped them straight away with Sherry from Moro Fleece Works, and she does a beautiful job processing fleeces.
So, you looked at the fleeces.
We judged whether we wanted them or not.
You fondled them.
Yep.
You beat out other people who were bidding on your stuff.
Yep.
And then when you got them, what happened after that?
I walked them over. Sherry from Moro Fleece Works goes to these events, and she is so fantastic. She washes and skirts and pin drafts and basically takes sheepy roving
and sheepy fleece
and turns it into the most beautiful, tidy, ready to spin roving you have ever seen. So I'm really pleased with her. She's processed, I think, 5 of my fleeces so far. She's got another 5 to process. So I'm probably going to shop carefully this year at the wool auction. I think we bid on 15 or 20 fleeces and only came home with 5 as a group. So
also, Sherry is incredibly organized at the show. She comes with a trailer.
Yep.
And business cards, and
you fill out the paperwork, and when Sherry gets to the color that your fleece is, she processes it and drops it in the mail, and you have roving. It's actually really a nice arrangement. I found that it was the best way of buying fleeces, because I just don't clean them or card them. I'm not good about doing the prep work because that's not the part of spinning I really enjoy. So Sherry's terrific. Do see her if you do buy a fleece and you want to process it yourself, power to you. But I have, that bridge has been crossed for me. In our household, Andrew doesn't complain about me buying fleeces so long as I hand them off to Sherry and I don't let them linger in the garage dirty. So.
Will you put a link for her in the show notes?
Absolutely. Everything we mentioned in the podcast will be in the show notes. And if you do come to the Monterey Wool Auction, do come and say hello to us. Mom and I will be there. I have the pink hair. Mom is never far away. So you'll be able to find us. If you do come, wear sunscreen. It's an outdoor event.
Bring a hat
and remember water. To sunscreen your lower back. Because if you're me and you lean forward in your chair while you're enthusiastically bidding for 2 hours, you end up with a smiley face shaped sunburn on your lower back. And there ain't nothing funny about that. But yeah, it's all fair food. So if you've got dietary restrictions, bring nutritious food. Last year we saw Angora bunnies and it was really kind of awesome. Because though I'm allergic to Angora bunnies, they are these huge puffballs in these little cages.
They sort of look like tribbles, but cuter.
They do. And they have these awesome ears, and it's just a lot of fun. So if you're a spinner or you're friends with a spinner and you're in the area, go for it. I recommend having dinner down in Monterey at Bubba Gump's. It's one of my favorites. It's not a crappy theme restaurant. It's actually awesome.
Oh my.
Yeah, we had such a good time last year.
I love Bubba Gump's.
So,
the food is amazing. Actually, didn't you convert people to seafood at Bubba Gump's?
I did. One of our friends was not a seafood eater, and Bubba Gump's got her back on the seafood track. So, yeah, do come if you're in the area. Otherwise, we'll be talking about it, and you'll wish you were there. So, other upcoming events are Stitch and Pitch, which is tomorrow if you're in the Bay Area. So hopefully by the time you hear this, you will have time to go and buy tickets at your local yarn shop or at the door or whatever. I will be there. Mom will not. I will have Andrew, the husband, in tow. He will bring his knitting. We're going to have a fabulous time.
Well, you will be very easy to find. Actually, whenever I go places with Jasmine and Andrew and I lose track of my very petite daughter, pink hair notwithstanding, because she stands at 5 feet 1 1/2 on a good day. All I have to look for very tall Andrew, who at 6'3" stands head and shoulders above the crowd. So Jasmine is generally very easy to find.
I find it very useful when we're shopping as well, because that way I can wander off and I've always got an eye on where he is. So, but we'll be there. Do come and say hi. Don't be shy. And
Rhinebeck.
We talked to Franklin last week on the podcast about Rhinebeck, and Mom and I have not made a solid commitment yet to attending. However,
I am terribly tempted. I still want to go hang out with Franklin.
I have begun negotiations. I'm not really sure if I want to spend more time away from home. I've already spent 2 weeks away from home in not a very long period of time, so we're talking about that. If we have any listeners who are planning on going, let us know, because we would love to meet more of you face-to-face, because we get all these emails and all this friendly commentary from all these people, and I would like to match a face to the Ravelry ID or the email address, because really, seeing your avatar is not the same as actually interacting, so holla at us, yos, or whatever. Oh, I know, that was painful. Sorry, no more slang on the podcast, I promise. We'd like to say a special thank you to Shakespeare Santa Cruz for providing us with material to review, our show sponsors, Pearlescence Yarns, and you, the listeners. As always, you can find our show notes at knitmoregirls.blogspot.com, knitmoregirls.blogspot.com, or you can reach us by email at knitmoregirls@yahoo.com. Remember, this is Jasmine
and Gigi
telling you to knit more.